protection, style, and value to your truck with a tonneau cover, running board, seat covers, floor liners, and much more. Stop by 4840 Airway Drive just off Vilas Road. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Line-X, much more than bedliners.
11 minutes after 7, Tom Clooney, friend of mine over in Talent, popped me an email the other day, and he said, Bill, you know, we have Eric Wenheim in town, and he is what is termed a building biologist. And you know how we've been having all this conversation about the smart meter is being forced upon the people? And some people have been criticizing the smart meters based on the the EMF radiation, which they end up emitting. I tend to be looking askance at them because of the way that they're being sold to the people, and then we're going to charge you to opt out, we're going to database you. To me, I tend to look askance at it due to technocratic concerns. But we have a building biologist, Eric Wenheim, here, and he's actually in town. You're headed back to California, so you were up here with just visiting people and trying to reduce EMF radiation. Is that a fair assessment here, Eric, what you do for a living?
Well, I was contacted and hired by several people to come up here and do a electromagnetic radiation survey of the house, mm-hmm. see what the levels are. And, you know, principle number 20 of the Building Biology Institute is to minimize the presence of man-made electromagnetic radiation. And then I found out about the smart meter meetings while I was actually on the way up here.
Okay, so for a living then, in your industry, which is Wenheim EMFSolutions.com. We'll put the link up there because you're being a good sport and coming on and talking about it. What do you believe then, excess EMF, which is electromagnetic frequencies then, what problems do you see in the populace, or at least according to some people, when they have too much of this around them?
Before 1885, when Edison started distributing electricity, we had a very low and safe electromagnetic environment, as we've lived with for eons. Mm-hmm. When Edison started distributing electricity, Master of Public Health Sam Milham actually did studies and shows wherever they put in electricity, lifespan went down 8 years. Now, it didn't go down on the farms because they didn't have electricity until after World War II. And then when we electrified the farms, their lifespan went down too. So there's only one control group left, and that's the Amish. And they have no ADD, no autism, and about half the rate of cancer. But then besides just regular electricity, we started getting radar, TV, radio. Mm-hmm. That was only a few points of exposure up until the wireless revolution, which happened in the 90s. And now everything is wireless because it's so cool, so convenient, and so empowering. So we've got billions of times of microwave radiation. You know, you can't get away from it. Everywhere you go, you've got microwave radiation nowadays.
Yeah, you see, microwave, you're talking about Wi-Fi probably, you know, 2 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz area, that sort of thing, right?
To keep it simple, let's just call it wireless radiation, or an information-carrying radio wave.
So where is the science, though, that that says that it's a problem? Because, you know, what I'm getting from most people is that it's anecdotal. They'll take it out, and then they feel better. But, you know, are we looking at a placebo effect in some cases? Why don't you break that down for us?
Okay. There's thousands of studies, hundreds of which have been done by the government, that shows there's biological disturbance, disruption, pain, injury, and even death from exposure to wireless radiation. I'm thinking back to the Naval Medical Research Institute report of 1971. That's the NMRI. And then also there's a great compendium of all these peer-reviewed reports called the Bioinitiative Report. And that was authored by Cindy Sage and Dr. David Carpenter. So there's plenty of evidence. It's just that the government doesn't want to admit it because corporations are making so much corporate profit and the government gets so much tax on all that corporate profit.
Well, I would also, you think it's really that simple, or just the fact that people like wireless devices?
Well, that's it, too. where there's a ubiquitous addiction to the empowerment and convenience of wireless devices. Absolutely, you're right on.
Yeah, there's a part of me that says, wow, isn't this cool? I could be out in the middle of, of a campground in the middle of a national forest, and I can actually make a phone call. And then it's kind of like, oh, wow, that means that even out in the middle of our national forest, then we have all sorts of microwave radiation now around us.
Well, that's the problem. They're even talking about it, putting cell towers in wilderness areas and national parks. You're right about that.
Okay. So is this at this point, is the study of EMF or being a building biologist, is this just kind of in the tinfoil hat realm? You know, people that say, hey, I'm itchy or I'm having problems to it. And then is placebo? I mean, can you actually break this down with solid case by case, where people actually felt better by eliminating EMF out of their lives?
Well, you know, I started off my battle against this with my utility, Sacramento Municipal Utility District.
So that's how you ended up joining the fight, huh? Was smart meters in your neighborhood?
Well, the utility wanted to force one onto my bedroom wall, and my wife is recovering from an illness. So I knew enough about these things to say no. I went out in the front yard and said, you're not putting one on. And they said, oh, yes, you are. Everybody gets one. Everybody loves one. Mm. I said, no, I don't want one. And you are trespassing. Get off and stay off. I found out that was the magic legal command. You're trespassing. Stay off. And then I followed it up with a notice of right of self-defense. And it started off saying, in the face of imminent and grave bodily injury, self-defense is a God-given and constitutionally protected right. Second paragraph, to kill a man is illegal, but to kill a man in self-defense is often legal. And that was about a 7-page document. They never bothered me again, although they, for other people that just said, I don't want one, they hopped fences, cut locks, broke gates, and put a smart meter on anyway.
What's actually pushing the smart meter deal here, Eric, in your view?
Say that again, please.
What's actually pushing the smart meter agenda, in your view?
I've traced it all the way back. It goes all the way back to the Department of Energy. Some of it's well-intended to be efficient as far as the grid goes and things like that. But the utilities love it because they can lay off meter readers. And furthermore, they have the ability to cut off your power if you're using too much power at the wrong time or if you don't pay your bill. There's a lot of reasons why the utilities love it.
Yeah, I get that. I find it interesting, though, that Pacific Power, I know we're kind of sort of dancing around this right now, but you know that Pacific Power is bringing the smart meter technology, the AMR, you know, the advanced metering, to our area here, and all sorts of people calling me up all, you know, bent out of shape about it. I think what concerns me most about it is that you see that this was being pushed by the Obama administration during the Great Recession. They had all sorts of grant stream funding out there to encourage the electric utilities to do something like this. And then you have... And then you have sustainable development types that are also saying that, well, we're going to push this too because it's all about having a much more efficient power grid.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because this is part of Obama's promise for shovel-ready jobs. And I'm not quite sure the joke is, are they talking about the jobs of putting the smart meters on or the jobs of burying the people that are injured by the smart meters?
Okay, now here's the question I have for you. I've looked up some of the information of smart meter. I don't want the smart meter on my home because of the databasing and how even they themselves admit that this data will eventually be sold. All sorts of people want to find out what your power consumption patterns are like, determining what your life insurance rates will be like based on your power. They would, you know, come up in there and say, hey, Bill, you're watching way too much television on your smart TV. We've been able to note this, and so we're going to charge you more on your life insurance. I mean, that's the kind of world that this energy-based economy would end up bringing us here. So I have a problem with that. When I look at, though, the level of EMF coming out of a typical smart meter, it doesn't seem like all that big of a deal. It's less than a smartphone, is it not? Or am I wrong about that from what I've looked into?
Yes, no, you're very correct about that. you know, the smart meter, the utilities will say these things. You know, my utility said they only transmit once every 4 hours.
Right.
I proved them wrong at public meetings and said, your exact same meter used by PG&E, the big utility next door, they had to confess under oath that it transmits 10,000 times per day on average and up to 190,000 times a day. And I caught him red-handed lying. I said, your general manager is responsible for this, and he's either incompetent or he's deceptive. In either case, he should be terminated. That's your job, and if you don't do that, you're complicit. And we spoke at 96 board meetings. But the radiation from the smart meter is, in total, less than that of a cell phone conversation. But people resonate to certain frequencies and modulations.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like I could coil up a bullwhip and throw it at you, and it would hit you and, you know, bounce off your chest. Or I could snap it, and if I did it right, I could split your ear open with just the last inch of the bullwhip. So it has to do with frequency, modulation, and power level. And some people get sick from these smart meters instantly, and other people are not symptomatic yet.
What is unique about the smart meter radiation, in your view, given this is what you tend to go around, you know, fighting people? We're fighting.
Okay, well, it's a 902 megahertz frequency.
Okay, so this is not Wi-Fi, just to be clear. This is not the Wi-Fi frequency. Okay.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is 2,400 megahertz. But here's the way it pulses. It's only about 5 to 22nd milliseconds long, and it goes from zero to full power in a fraction of a millisecond. So it's a sudden inrush or ramp up of power from zero to full power in, you know, nanoseconds. That's like accelerating your car to the speed of light in half a second. Everybody inside would be crushed.
So your take on it then is that it is the pulsed modulation aspect of it, the pulsing of the RF energy, the radio frequency energy, the pulsing of it, which is causing the problems for some people?
You're right on. And Carl Blackman wrote a good paper about that. See, I've met lots of people, they can use a cell phone, a Wi-Fi, a cordless phone, but as soon as the smart meter is put on the house, they or maybe everybody in their house gets sick that minute. So there's something very unique about the smart meter pulsed modulation pattern that is far more important than just the total thermal effect of the wireless radiation that's hitting your body.
Okay, this is a really stupid question then. If there are many people complaining about the 900 megahertz RF problem there, why don't they just change it up to Wi-Fi, which people seem to be living with, for better or for worse, up at, you know, 2,500 megahertz or 5,000 megahertz, you know, 5G and so much more?
Well, just two things. I have plenty of people that are suffering horrible injuries from Wi-Fis. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this one client in Vallejo, California, the child was kicked out of school. He was acting weird and aberrantly and was required to see a psychologist. I get to the house, the Wi-Fi modem is underneath his bed. They pulled it up from underneath his bed. The guy wrote me back 6 months later, everything is fine. My son is back in school. Thank you so much for your advice. So some people resonate to Wi-Fi in a very destructive manner. Some people, all they do is switch from one brand of cell phone to another, and suddenly they're EMF sensitive for years. It just depends upon which frequency is going to, quote, ring your bell or ring your tuning fork. And you don't really know which one it is. Everybody's a little different.
That's very interesting. Eric Winheim is an EMF specialist discussing the smart meter battles what we're talking about this morning. And you were up here on talking with some other clients here, which I thought was quite interesting. So one of the challenges, as you talked about, though, is that not everybody is affected the same way. But I will tell you this. I will concede your point on having the Wi-Fi routers. I once had the Wi-Fi router in my home next to the bedroom wall, and we moved it all the way across the house, and we slept better after that. Now, perhaps it is anecdotal, but I don't think it is.
Now, many times I go into the house, and I say, you know, what are your symptoms? Headache, fatigue, ringing in the ears, mm-hmm. insomnia. Heart palpitations, I said, okay. So I turn on my RF analyzers, I locate the sources of wireless radiation, and I turn them off. And sometimes people actually say, oh, my God, what did you do? I said, I just shut off the power to all of your wireless radiation devices. And people have said, I haven't felt this good in 3 years. Another one said, I felt like I was just let out of an electric chair. I suddenly just felt like this huge amount of tension has released off my body. And one woman says, I feel so good now. I don't think I would have needed the pacemaker the doctor put in my chest last month.
Wow, that's pretty astounding. How do you end up getting people in our connected world to still be able to use devices, but yet not go wireless?
Well, this morning I was hoping to speak on a landline phone at my host's house, but I couldn't get it to work.
So I use a
flip phone. I use it sparingly, 20 minutes a month, and I use it on speakerphone always. I never hold it to the side of my head. There always is a way to get your information and your technology. Wires just take a little bit more hassle, but that's what we used to do back in the 90s and the 80s. We used wires for everything, and the world, we got to where we are now with wires, so we really don't need wireless, but even though it is more convenient.
Mm. So you're really talking about back to the future a little bit. That's what you've done in your own life then.
Mm? Well, the question is, do you want to live a really exciting life but have a lot of health problems? Or do you want to live a long, healthy life and just find a safe way to get your information? I prefer to get my information in a safe way and live a longer life, because I see plenty of harm, injury, and even death from wireless radiation in particular.
Interesting conversation here with Eric Winheim. Ron's in Grants Pass. Ron, you have a question here, because he's up here talking with people about the various smart meter issues and diving full bore into it. What are you thinking?
Well, it strikes me that EMPs, as an example, are thwarted by a Faraday cage, which is a wire enclosure or some type of a metal enclosure around things you want to protect. It strikes me that this could be used around the smart meter, assuming we allow the smart meter to come in, to at least protect the people from the radiation issue. And I don't know if it's the same radiation or if a Faraday cage would work. Maybe your guess could help.
You know, it's an interesting question here, Ron. Thanks for making it. Eric, can you actually shield a smart meter so that it can still be read in the mesh network? And that's what they set up. It's a mesh network here. But yet you don't have the mesh network passing through your home, let's say.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all is avoid having the smart meter attached to your face. Or to your house, because if you remember that movie with Sigourney Weaver called Alien, once that thing got on your face, it's really kind of too late. So the smart meter has a couple problems. It radiates wireless radiation in all directions. So if you're standing out in the yard or if the neighbor's smart meter is facing towards you, you're going to get that radiation. And I've got people that are harmed by this radiation 250 feet away because they're that sensitive. The other problem is the radiation comes back on all the wiring circuits in your house, and they become a sympathetic antenna retransmitting that data and that signal through all the circuit wiring in your house. So if you have to do shielding, if it's already on the house, I would get like an 8x8 sheet of heavy-duty aluminum radiant barrier from Home Depot or Lowe's and put it on the wall from floor to ceiling, 8 feet up, 8 feet wide, and that will reflect most of it away from your house.
Okay, that's an interesting way of looking at that. I guess the point being here, the claim is that you're going to be able to save money with the smart meter. This is what I've talked with the people from Pacific Power. They've been on here. What is the evidence that you actually save money on this?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've attended 96 SMUD board meetings. I never saw anybody.
By the way, what is SMUD for those who don't live in California?
SMUD is Sacramento Municipal Utility District. It's the sixth largest municipal utility in the United States.
Okay, so you've attended all these meetings. What happened?
Well, one guy came in. He owns a racetrack, and he said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your electricity. But since you put in the smart meter, my parking lot, which I've operated for 15 years, the bill is 500% higher. So there's clearly something wrong with your new meter. Now, I have met many, many people in all kinds of states and locales The bill seems to go up 10 or 20% for sure. That's not enough to irritate people. And several times it can go up 10,000%. But all of these utilities were trained by some central source. They all have the same song and dance, chapter and verse, and saving money is one of the biggest worms on the hook to get people to swallow it. It just doesn't happen. I haven't seen it happen. Nobody has said it's happened. It's just the opposite, actually.
I like how we're told that you'll be able to save money on your power bill. Yeah, because you're going to shut off your heating or air conditioning when you need it most. Because you'll get the alert then, won't you? Isn't that what happens? You know, you set up the smart meter to tell you when you're going to be charged too much. That's part of the deal, isn't it?
See, you're absolutely right. Along with the smart meter comes time of use billing. So when electricity is popular, prices go up. It's like a Coke machine that charges you $10 per can if it's over 100 degrees. So the way you'll save money is avoiding the punishing rates of using electricity when a lot of people want to use electricity. That's the only way you'll save, and it's just by avoiding the penalty for the 50% charge during popular usage times.
What could possibly go wrong with something like that? I get concerned out of a privacy and the databasing of power use patterns. That's probably one of the issues that I have the biggest bone of contention with, because I've been looking at the white papers surrounding this smart meter technology, and it seems like a lot of people, awful lot of people, want that information about how you use electricity in your home. It's absolutely fascinating. Everybody from law enforcement agencies to your local governments would want it, to appliance manufacturers. It's astounding how many people want to be able to look at you through your electric consumption.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, down in Sacramento in California, before marijuana growing became legal down there, it was easy to spot a marijuana grower in a house because he had a very high and stable electric consumption rate. So that is immediately forwarded over to the sheriff or the police department, and then they can do a raid based on reasonable suspicion that there is marijuana growing because of their electric usage pattern.
Very interesting. Eric, where can people go to find out more about your business? You're a good sport for coming on here. Like I said, you're just visiting the area. You're headed back to Sacramento here in the next few days. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my company is Windheim EMF Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is Windheim. You got to spell that right. That's Windheim. So if you just go to Google and put in Windheim EMF, you'll see numerous links to my site. And then if you want to see what I do on the job, go to YouTube channel. You'll go to YouTube and type in Windheim EMF Solutions, and you'll see all the videos I take when I'm on the job, discovering wiring code violations, dirty electricity, and everything else, and a lot of the interesting meters that I use to detect and measure this.
What's the problem with dirty electricity there? Well, final question.
Okay, well, before the Arab oil embargo, we used transformers to change voltage from 120 down to 10 or 20 volts. After the oil embargo, we realized we had to find a more efficient way to reduce or change voltage. So we used something called a switch mode power supply, and they have those in solar inverters, every electronic device, your cell phone charger, your computer charger, and it creates a huge amount of high-frequency voltage transients. So normal electricity has 60 cycles per second. This stuff has 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, 80,000 cycles per second. It's a very sudden rise in voltage and fall in voltage, and your body is tremendously disrupted. Diabetes, leukemia. I have seen some of my clients when they clean up their leukemia, they call me up and say, Eric, my cancer doctor says I don't have cancer any longer.
That's a pretty serious claim there, don't you think?
Well, that man's testimony is on my website. His name is Robert Kammerer, and that's what he told me. He called me up and said, so excited, Eric, write this down. My doctor says I don't have cancer.
Okay. Yeah, you sure it couldn't be just the chemotherapy?
Say that again?
Might it have not been the actual treatment that he received rather than just eliminating the EMFs? I mean, how can you connect one to the other?
Just the opposite. The doctor said You've got 6 months to do whatever you need to do. Otherwise, we're starting the treatment. So I'll see you back in 6 months.
Ah.
And in, okay. And in 6 months, the doctor said, we don't see reversals like this. You don't have cancer. You're free to go. And I believe you've been touched by God.
Very interesting that, but of course, this is going right back into the situation where one of the challenges we face in our big wireless world is that not everybody reacts to it the same way. There is no one size fits all on this. Fair enough?
Well, no, that's not actually true. Not everybody is acutely symptomatic. But when you look at the blood, the enzymes, the dopamine levels, and everything else, it happens to everybody. It's just that some people are not experiencing the acute instantaneous pain at this moment.
All right. Very good. Eric, you're a good sport. Thanks for coming in here and talking about it and for sharing your experience, the EMF fighter, as it were, okay?
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm going to be speaking at a smart meter activist meeting tonight. I don't have the exact address here, but it's at a trailer park mobile home center in Talent. And everything's been happening so fast, I don't have that with me. But if you talk to some of the people that are well-connected, they'll know where this meeting is, and I'll be open for questions of all kinds at that meeting.
Yeah, what time?
6:30 to 9:30. It's Golden Oaks or something, trailer park.
Okay. Maybe Tom will give me, maybe Tom who turned me on to you will give you a quick, give me a quick email on where that is, okay?
Yes, I'll get that information if he can call me back later.
All right. Hey, thanks, Eric. You take care. Be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 737, kind of a, you know, that was different, wasn't it? 737, KMED, KCMD, you're on the Bill Myers Show.
The best time to buy. KMED.
Tom's in Talent. Speak of the devil. I had a feeling you'd probably give me a quick call here. Where's that smart meter talk going to be tonight, Tom?
Okay. You take the Talent exit, and that puts you on Valley View, and there's a truck stop. There's a gas station right there. And you go just past that about a 100 feet, and off to your right, you'll see it says Oak Valley, but it's and you'd turn right, and it's not a trailer court. It's actually a housing complex. And as soon as you turn right onto Oak Valley, you'll it is Oak Street. Mm-hmm. You turn right, and immediately off to the left, you'll see the clubhouse for the for that area.
Yeah, let me Google it on my wireless phone. Just
it
kidding.
Is 105 Christopher Way. 105 Christopher Way. Yeah, I got the joke.
Yeah, okay, you got that, huh? All right.
And there's limited parking, so you might have to park at there's a little shopping center right above it. You might have to park up there at that time of night. It won't be too crowded.
Yeah, this is this seems to be a big issue and getting bigger very quickly here in Southern Oregon.
I tell you, Bill, I just saw someone the other day. She had itching completely all over her body. And she had blood pressure that was spiking up to 185, and then the next day it dropped down to 105. That's, you know, 80-point difference.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do over here the next few days, I'm going to just do an experiment myself in which shutting off the Wi-Fi at night, just shutting off the router, you know, overnight. I'm going to see how that works. I'll get back to you. And these are just little anecdotal things. I'm just going to, you know, experiment with that and see if I experience a difference, okay?
I could tell you so many stories, but what happens with the Wi-Fi is your pineal gland that makes the melatonin can't tell the difference between high noon and being blasted by microwave.
Mm-hmm. Interesting conversation. Hey, thanks, Tom. Be well, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 7:43. Yeah, like I say, there's all sorts of reasons to question the pushing of the smart meter on from the federal government. I tend to be looking at it more from the privacy aspect of it. And also the fact that nobody is pushing a smart meter on you in order to deliver inexpensive electricity. It is about metering time of day, very expensive electricity. As you listen to utilities that say, well, we're not going to fight the yanking out of Klamath dams. We want to take the dams out. We want to take out all of this power. But we're going to provide all of the increases in demand for future power from conservation. Well, how do you conserve? How do you force people to conserve? Now, triple the rate at certain times of day. That'd be something that would concern you, wouldn't it?
KMED.
Jasper's quiz time. Caesar salad with poppers, or maybe a Shanghai chicken with Thai peanut sauce, crunchy pot stickers of the Pearl Heart, balsamic chicken, bacon, and blue cheese. That's some of what you'll find with Jasper's salads. They're big and beautiful, okay? They're famous for lean wild game burgers, too. All leaner and heart healthier. So whether a salad or a burger, stop by today. See what's new at Jasper's. Fun, affordable option for your life. Gavin's here. Hey, Gavin, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Did I get that right, Gavin?
Yes.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Hey, Gavin, a Supreme Court case involving toxic waste dumps in New York is being used as precedence in an upcoming Supreme Court ruling involving what? Is it A, automakers, B, sports gambling, C, airlines, or D, dairy farmers? What do you say?
D, dairy farmers.
Dairy farmers is a great guess as always, but no, it's not the one we're looking for, but we appreciate you trying. Next, we have Rich. Hey, Rich, how you doing this morning? It's not dairy farmers.
Doing good.
So a toxic waste dump in New York is being used as a precedent in an upcoming Supreme Court ruling. Is it automakers, sports gambling, or airlines that this involves?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say sports gambling.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of odd.
Yeah, you got it. It actually is sports gambling. The New York case actually reigned in Congress. It was about a federalism case, which affects a case this year negating sports gambling as a federal mandate, allowing states to decide if they want it or not. It's called Christie v. NCAA, if you wanted to read up some more on that. So interesting what we can find out, huh? Congratulations to you.
Great.
Thanks so much for listening. It's 7:51, Jasper's Constitutional Quiz. Now, next we have our Crime Stoppers case for the week. Crime Stoppers, of course, a situation in which, depending on the case and the information that we're giving, Crime Stoppers pays a reward of up to $1,000 for information that leads to the arrest and filing of charges. You can remain anonymous. And we thank the folks at Rogue Credit Union for helping out here. Lieutenant Justin Ivins is in the studio. How you doing this morning, Justin?
I'm good.
All right. So we're actually looking at somebody who was in a road rage incident, and she's claiming that the guy shot her with a pellet of some sort and then took off. But it's we're a little vague on the type of vehicle, right?
Yeah, and that's what we're ultimately, obviously, we want to try to identify the suspect. But the most information we have is on the vehicle that was involved. So basically what happened is on the 6th of this month, the complainant in this is going northbound on Riverside of Walnut. So that's prior to McAndrews. There's a vehicle stopped in the road that appears to be picking someone up. She stops, and there's a conversation between the two that ultimately gets heated in pretty short order. She reports that at some point the subject in the other vehicle points something at her, and she feels something strike the back of her neck. And obviously that report's made to us. She believes that she was struck with a BB or some type of pellet that was shot from that vehicle.
Okay. All right. And that's just as serious as if you took a firearm, I would imagine, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to say. And, you know, obviously we need to locate this car, which is described as a newer red Honda sedan. She reported that it had a personalized plate. She couldn't get the whole plate, but she remembers the numbers 22 being in that plate somewhere. So we're looking for that vehicle. The subject was described as a white male, 30s, possibly 40s, with red hair.
Okay, so we have a red Honda sedan with a male driver, red hair, which, of course, that narrows it
right,
you know, quite a bit.
And red beard.
And a red beard, and somehow the plate bearing the number 22 on a 22 at some point.
Right, in a personalized format.
Personal.
Yeah.
Oh, like a personalized plate.
Correct. So
okay.
It's going to be a little bit unique. So we, our crime analysts have done a lot of work trying to figure out this license plate and mess around with it. And we're striking out. So we're hoping someone might recognize this car, jump, you know, put a call on a Crime Stoppers, call the Medford Police Department, and let us know what you have, and so we can follow up on it.
All right. Really appreciate that. So are all of the departments here in Southern Oregon getting ready for the service for the fallen Ashland officer?
For Officer Williams, yeah. Just a tragic deal. But, you know, we're one big family, and we're Medford Police Department's, we're we're dedicating a lot of folks to that service, and yeah, we're all getting ready for it, and it's
Saturday, right? Is that when it's
Saturday?
It's going to happen,
correct, over in Ashland. Yeah, oh,
St. Patrick's Day. It's an interesting way of looking at that.
So.
Well, thanks for letting us know what's going on. Hopefully we can catch. You know, you have someone, even if you're just popping a pellet at somebody or a BB, you have to wonder, if you're thinking that's an okay thing to do when you get into a little dust up in the side of the road.
Well, and I think, too, it shows that how quick a verbal conversation like this can turn bad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And just to be careful and weigh out your options when you're going to talk to someone, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing yourself. And don't put yourself in harm's way necessarily. And I'm not saying that she did anything wrong, but and obviously this gentleman took it way too far and needs to be held accountable for that. But just be careful out there.
The one thing that I've always found, this is just my personal experience, not that I've done a lot of stupid things on the road, but we've all done something occasionally that has been really kind of boneheaded.
You know, absolutely.
It's just a natural part of being human.
Right.
And I remember there would be some guys that he's given me the finger one time. It was over by McAndrews, oddly enough, mm-hmm. because I had maybe not... I probably shouldn't have changed lanes the way I did, right? I'll be admitted, right? And he said, "Punk," and he's flipping me off and everything like that. I just waved my hands. I said, "Hey, sorry. And then it's fascinating how all of a sudden he calmed down at that point. Oh, okay. You're acknowledging that you could have been a danger and this and that and the other. And then it was diffusing rather than just say, "Hey, well, screw you."
Right.
No, screw you. And that's when the fights start, right?
Yeah, it just be patient. And obviously, we don't want anyone getting hurt. And that's what this ultimately boils down to.
Thanks, Justin.
So, we
appreciate that, okay?
Take care.
Catch you around next week. It's 7:56. 7:57 at the Bill Myers Show. We're at 45 degrees. Good looking day here. If you like it, gray. Okay. Hey, coming up, we're going to check in with Fox News, the NBC5 local report here. And then when we get down, we're going to check the markets, too, for that matter. And then Newt Bueller, one of the GOP candidates running for governor in the state of Oregon. Kick around some issues, and we'll be happy to take your calls for the candidate, too, at 770-5633-757.